Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gordon here, KY6V. And this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. We're going to cut things short on the preamble opening here this morning or this evening so that we'll have a little more time for the program. I would like to let you know that and be advised that all stations connected that this net might be recorded. Well, it might be. It is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So obviously all stations participating will be part of that recording. So let me buy a nickel and we'll get the thing sort of started here. Thanks for coming by. Tonight's program is entitled, Is There Anything Good in Hurricanes? With a big fat question mark. Let me start by saying my mother was a teacher. My wife is a teacher. And I have always heard them say, there is a little bit of bad and a little bit of good in each child. So let us try and prove this evening that this also holds true for hurricane activity. I'm going to buy a nickel. Cyclone activity can be called a depression, tropical storm, hurricane, typhoon, or whatever is a devastating and act of Mother Nature. Its impact can be fatal. It can demolish buildings to ground level. It can cause widespread flooding, not to mention the anxiety, the fear, and the financial impact that it brings forth. So it is assumed to be correct to say it is very hard for any of us to see anything that might be good with a storm of this nature. That being the case, we have done considerable research to find if there is anything good to be found. If there, what it is, what does it do, and how much healthy impact does it really have? So, with all of that said, let me get the disclaimer out of the way. Stand by. SCARS is a members, its members, visitors, and board of directors wish to acknowledge the many contributions of the first responders, hurricane science researchers, organizations, humanitarian relief agencies, climatologists, atmospheric and space scientists, and all those who contribute to our knowledge of our world, atmospheric science, and tropical cyclone research and observation. We also want to especially acknowledge the publication and organizations whose public information was available for this presentation of this program. All copyrights and trademarks remain the property of the holder. And hang on a minute. Here we go. An environmental engineering professor, Anna Boris, first got the idea to study the effect of rain in tropical systems in 2006. And it goes on to say that when she saw a TV news story about that year's drought in the having trouble with the light here. I'm sorry about that. Last year's drought in the southeastern U.S., a reporter talked to farmers who said their crops were in very bad shape. The headline actually said, "What we need is a final good hurricane," and she recalls, and I thought that was really interesting. Well, that sort of starts the whole shebang. So at this point, and with your permission, I think I touched a little bit on David's stuff, but I'll let him reiterate it. David, in Wales, good evening, sir. Are you ready to go? KY6V, over.
Yes, I am ready to go there, Captain, and raring to go. Okay, we're going to start with an interesting article found by Sciencing. And this can be found at the sciencing.com website. That is Sierra Charlie India Echo November. CharlieIndiaNovemberGolf.com. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Dave over here in Newport in South Wales. First, we're going to talk about seed dispersal. Now, hurricanes may destroy organisms, but they may also promote their spread. Seeds born on their ferocious winds may be sown far from their sources, facilitating the dispersal of many plant species. For example, in South Florida, tropical hardwood hammocks, which are patches of rich jungle scattered amid expanses of sawgrass glades and pine forests, more than likely had the help from hurricanes. Most of the shrubs and trees composing these shadowy wild pockets composed of West Indian mahoganies, gumbo limbo, strangler fig, and others come from the Caribbean and the Central and South American tropics. While many of these seeds likely reach the toe of Florida via bird gullets or ocean currents, scientists speculate that hurricanes churning in from the Atlantic or Gulf of Mexico are also responsible. Reset. Okay, now we're going to talk about habitat modifications. Hurricanes deposit vast quantities of seafloor and estuary sediments as they muscle ashore. Accumulations that provide footholds for coastal vegetation communities. The storms may ravage existing mangrove swamps, but also mound up banks of sand, mud, or marl. Is soil consisting of limestone and clay, in which seedlings or dislodged mature trees establish new stands. Now, in hypersaline lagoons, such as the Laguna Madre complex of southeastern Texas and adjoining Mexico, hurricanes periodically flush the salty waterways, providing notable contributions of more diluted seawater and freshwater rain and runoff. Reset. Now we're moving on to about ecological succession. A hurricane that flattens a hardwood hammock or a deciduous forest may seem an agent of destruction, but such disturbances are a natural and necessary part of the ecosystem function. The toppling or defoliation of mature canopy trees allows sunlight to reach the previously dark understory, permitting shade-intolerant species to proliferate. These may experience years of dominance until shade-tolerant trees create a canopy again. Now, such cycling of vegetation communities is called succession, and it promotes biodiversity by giving more species the chance to occupy a given ecosystem and maintaining landscape mosaics of greater complexity. Now, about much-needed rain. The often torrential rainfall associated with hurricanes can be a double-edged sword. Flooding is commonplace in the wake of a storm, threatening human life and property. But the deluges of passing hurricanes and their weakening but still wet remnants can also be a boom for areas experience the late summer droughts that sometimes coincide with tropical cyclone season. Storm precipitation may benefit parched crops in a severely dry stretch of the growing season, or help douse long-raging wildfires. Let me reset. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima continuing. And now we're going to have a little look at the positive effects of rain from hurricanes. Now this is from an original article by Duncan McFadden, and it's dated May the 30th, 2016, quite some time ago. And it goes like this. As hurricane season begins, there's something to keep in mind. Although these storms are known for bad things like strong winds, heavy rain, downed trees, flooding and power outages, there may be an upside. Now, researchers at Duke University say they can bring much-needed rain during droughts. Environmental engineering professor Anna Barros first got the idea to study the effect of rain from tropical systems in 2006 when she saw a TV news story about that year's drought in the southeastern U.S. The reporter talked to farmers who said their crops were in very bad shape. The headline actually said, "What we need is a really good hurricane," she recalls. And I thought that was really interesting. Right, what is a good hurricane? Can you read that? Now, what the farmers meant was, the rain from the hurricanes might be able to help salvage some of their crops. Maybe the farmers were onto something, Barris thought. So, she and her team of researchers came up with a way to model how rainfall affects photosynthesis in plants. Plants are more efficient at turning carbon dioxide into the energy they need to grow when they have enough water. They ran that model on rainfall data from the southeastern U.S. from 1980 through to 2007. Barris's team concluded, in years when tropical storms or hurricane made landfall, there was in fact more photosynthesis going on. They produce so much water input that actually replenishes soil moisture content in the Piedmont and recharges aquifers and so on, she says. They play a very important role in busting droughts, basically, and in maintaining the systems functional for ecosystems, he said. In fact, she says, the amount of carbon uptake generated by a hurricane through photosynthesis is hundreds of times that of the output of all vehicles in the US in a given year. And so, what this means is that this landscape, meaning the southeastern US, is very well adapted to these kind of events in the warm season, of course, when the soil moisture and the aquifers need this additional output, Barris says. But too many strong storms aren't good for the plants. In years when storms are too frequent, the ground becomes saturated, and there can be flooding. Barris also warns that the positive effect of hurricanes would diminish if more forests are cut down in the southeast, and the chance of flooding would increase, he said. Now, how deep does mechanical agitation of water go underneath hurricanes? We know from this and the previous TIM programs on hurricanes and cyclonic activity that deep seawater temperature greatly affects cyclonic storm formation. The indraft at the bottom of the forming hurricane and the updraft to the top of the hurricane will fall back to ground, causing a cascade of air mass, only happens with the right temperature conditions. If an anvil forms at the top of the updraft, formation of a cyclone is capped, and a more severe storm will not result. Now, this means there will be less opportunity for a severe cyclone to form or cause any cleanup of the area travelled underneath the storm. Now, about mechanical agitation and deep salt water marine life. These question any beneficial cleanup of the ecology traceable to cyclonic storm activity also need to be considered from a deep sea cleanup perspective. We know that medical waste and tsunami waste has washed up onto shores far removed from the place where the waste originated. How did the hurricane affect the water and wave motion to clean up, disperse and propagate the trash? Okay, at this point I'm going to ask for check-ins or any comments on the program so far. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Looking for check-ins or comments. Please call now.
Sierra United November.
Okay, I've got Kilo 6 Sierra Uniform November. And I've also got Kilo Whiskey 4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, George, but you had carrier but no audio. George, would you like to try again? from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, sorry, George, you've still got no audio, just carrier. Sorry, I've turned the volume right up and I can't actually hear anything from you at this time. I'll call you back in a minute. Okay, we go down to K6SUN. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Dave, let me know how I sound.
Yeah, no problems at all. You sound absolutely perfect from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
All right. I just wanted to know that. I am up on Drummond Island in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a little bit closer to you, Dave. And I thought maybe I could do the preamble tonight, but I couldn't get things to connect. But I did want to connect and say hi to everyone. I am flying home on Saturday to return to my lifestyle in Florida, but it has been great here. 80 degrees today. Tornadoes in the area yesterday. Very, very windy today, 20 miles per hour. Time with my grandkids. Time for them destroyed some equipment. It's been a great time. I did want to say hi, and I'll say hi to my better half, that I am well, and I hope he is as well. Looking forward to getting home. So back to you, Dave. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'll be listening.
Yeah, okay, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yep, and not long now before you'll be back home again. But not good news about tornadoes. I'd love to actually chase one or two of them, but I don't think I'll get to do that. But they certainly definitely keep out of the way of them for sure. Okay, and thank you very much for calling on in there and letting you know us know all know that you're safe and well. Okay, I'm going to try George again and see if he's got his audio problem fixed. KW4LCB, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Are you back with us, George?
KW4 Lima, Charlie, Bravo. Good evening to you, Dave, and appreciate the information there. And hello, Miss Sunshine, and the rest of the group. Oh, mercy me. What can I say, Dave? You've really opened
got him muted. I think he's got a loose connection in his cable. What do you think? Over.
Yeah, okay there, Gordon from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. It sounded like it to me the way it actually, the audio just dropped completely and there was a little noise there. So I think that's probably exactly what's happening there, Gordon. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead and continue, and George, if you're listening at the moment, I've got you muted. I'll get you unmuted shortly. KY6V, go ahead, David.
Okay, thank you very much there, Gordon. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. We're the SoCars Thursday Information Net for June. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to check in or got any comments at this time? Please call now. Okay, nothing heard. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Roger, the Chief, W4RFJ, to continue the program this evening. W4RFJ, GW8SZL, over to you, my friend.
GW8SZL from W4RFJ. How do you copy there, Dave?
As they would say, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. Back to you, Chief.
Thanks, Dave. All right, so let's continue with the mechanical agitation and deep saltwater marine life section. Research into how far underwater turbulence of cyclonic storms will reach seems to say that the wave motion under the storm to a shallow depth of 20 kilometers has more effect than a vortex wave theory. The wave motion may be of a long wave period or lower swell frequency, like the frequency of a radio wave, or of a shorter wave period, such as a high swell frequency. One may think of being in a boat riding the waves, and the long wave period, your head would bob up and down fewer times per minute, and with the shorter wave, your head would bob up and down more quickly. The original article below may be found at https://cliffmass.blogspot.com, and this concerns the benefits of tropical storms and hurricanes. Sorry about that. Couldn't see what I was saying. Although there is a lot of media coverage of the damage and destruction accompanying tropical storms and hurricanes, such storms can also have important benefits. For example, landfalling tropical storms can be an important source of water, water that can lessen droughts and recharge underground aquifers. Let me grab a nickel here. As many of you know, there have been major droughts in the midsection of the station, or of the nation. Severe drought was extended from northern Louisiana through Missouri and Iowa into Illinois and Indiana, and west into the Great Plains. The Mississippi River has been known to run very low, with serious impacts on marine transportation, and the effects on agriculture have been profound. The latest forecast models indicate that hurricanes may bring soaking rain, though much of this much of this drought region. The benefits of tropical storms and hurricanes doesn't end with rainfall. It turns out such storms can help maintain and build barrier beaches, such as those that line the East Coast. Orrin H. Pilkey, James B. Duke Professor Emeritus of Geology at the Nichols School of the Environment and Earth Sciences at Duke, boy, that is one heck of a tongue twister, noted that barrier islands need hurricanes for their survival, especially at times of rising sea levels such as now. It's during hurricanes that islands get higher and wider. From a purely national standpoint, hurricanes are a blessing for islands, even though they are a curse for people who live there. Let me grab a nickel. Okay, continuing on, hurricanes and tropical storms produce overwash of sand, and without that, the islands get skinnier and skinnier and might disappear as the sea level rises. Most of the damage during hurricanes is along the coastal zone due to storm surge and associated flooding. Too many people and structures are located along the coast and put themselves at risk. To protect themselves, all kinds of geoengineering approaches are installed, such as jetties and dams, etc., etc. Okay, let me grab a nickel. Okay, the next section is underwater temperature inversions under cyclonic activity. One, for a cyclonic storm to form, air mass movement must flow between temperature zones between below the seawater surface and the airborne moisture heated and cooled and supercooled air. Two, because this is seawater, the effects of temperature are amplified. Please remember that when you are cooking in the kitchen, salt is added to raise the boiling temperature of the liquid. Three, why does adding salt change the boiling temperature of water? Let's think about the molecules inside an unsalted and salted ocean water. Plain water without salt boils at 100 degrees centigrade. This boiling point is partially determined by the spacing between the water molecules, as well as the heat absorbed into that capacity or entropy of the water molecules themselves. The same can be said of salt molecules dissolved in water when the salt solution is diluted, meaning there is very little salt. The distance between the salt and water molecules are closer to normal, and the salt has minimal influence on the boiling temperature, When more salt is added, the motion of the salt molecules collides more often with the water molecules, and heat transfer occurs between the different molecules. Also, higher temperatures mean that the molecules are more excited and move faster in the solution, raising the boiling temperature because the water molecules cannot escape into the air or boil as it lowers the temperature, or as it does at lower temperatures. These temperature changes affect the air mass updrafts and downdrafts because evaporation is affected, making changes in thermal updrafts and downdrafts. Let me grab another nickel. Okay, as changes occur in thermal updrafts and downdrafts, the potential formation, severity, and travel of the cyclonic storm center and outer spirals are all affected by the changes in temperatures related to updrafts and downdrafts. This is verified by the fact that an anvil top on a developing hurricane can cap or stop a storm formation when the updrafts cannot reach a sufficient height to cause the vertical formation and eyewall construction of a hurricane. The anvil top, in effect, caps off the thermodynamic activity that leads to the necessary air mass flow for a cyclone to form. When there is no anvil top, a storm can continue to build to the necessary heights for a storm to be born. Buoy temperature measurements can help paint a picture of the thermodynamics of any particular storm. By analyzing the thermodynamics during storm formation as it travels and as it nears landfall, we can make some elementary predictions about ecological impact on nearshore and dry landfall surfaces. While this is an inexact and young science, the pace of discovery about the ecological impacts of storms is greatly accelerated with technological improvements, research innovations, satellite analysis before and after a storm, satellite-based reading of buoy data pre- and post-storm, and buoys that have gone adrift from their original mooring points provided measurements in unscheduled monitoring locations. All of this innovation has helped reduce loss of life and property, improve warning and search and rescue activities, and helped us to understand both the good and bad ecological impacts of cyclonic storms in both hemispheres of our planet. Okay, at this time, I'm looking for check-ins, W4RFJ with the South Cars. Thursday Information Net, come now.
Howdy, KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee.
Okay, KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo, we got you and we got Delta Yankee. So, George, pick it up. What you got for us? And welcome to the South Cars Thursday Information Net, W4RFJ, residing at this moment.
Well, one good thing, I've got audio again. Thank you. But we had some comments to make, some experiences as to the good times during the hurricanes back in the days of the Keys and all. But we'll put it on the table. But later on, we kind of like to add that in there because, like you say, there are some good things about a hurricane. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thanks, George. Outstanding, and your audio sounds great. Okay, next on the list is Delta Yankee. Come on aboard, Robert. You're sounding great from the land down under. I hope you're not freezing down there.
Good morning, Chief. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee in Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. No, it's about 10 degrees Celsius. It only got down to about 8 last night. So we're definitely in a warm spell. I think it's supposed to get up to 21 today, which is like 70 Fahrenheit. For this part of winter, that's pretty good. One observation I make is that here in the southern hemisphere, our cyclones tend to stay in the tropics. I'm 34 degrees south, I think we've seen one or two cyclones in the entire recorded history. 34 degrees north in would put us just a little north of Florida, and definitely in cyclone region. So I'm curious why cyclones in the northern hemisphere seem to leave the tropics. That's a one question. And I forgot the other question, so I'm just going to turn it back to you, VK2DY, back to Ned.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. Gordon, do you want to take a jab at Robert's question there, W4RFJ?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm qualified either, but hi, Robert. I did read at one point that that the cyclones or hurricanes, whatever you want to call them, tend to stay away from the closeness to the equator because it disturbs the way that they travel around either clockwise or counterclockwise. That make any sense to you, Robert? Over.
Hey, just I took a big bite of breakfast here. Sorry. Yeah, that makes some sense. And also, I think we've got so little landmass down here compared to you guys up there that that's probably true. And yeah, our cyclones go in a clockwise direction, so the worst part of the cyclone tends to be south of the eye. VK2DY.
Okay, Roger, back to you, sir.
Okay, you beat me to the punchline. All right, very good. Well, thanks there, Captain, and thanks for joining us, Robert. Next on the marquee here is Woody, KO4UMQ. Are you there, sir? It's your turn.
Yeah, thanks, Chief. Good evening, everyone. This is Woody, KO4UMQ, and I'm going to pick it up with an article entitled "A Hurricane May Be Only Way to Get Rid of Red Tide, Expert Says." And it's written by Nicole Rodriguez, staff writer for the Herald Tribune. She says, Sarasota, the invasion of toxic red tide on southwest Florida beaches that has slaughtered marine life and sickened humans could possibly be helped by hurricane activity. A major weather system, such as a hurricane, could potentially rid southwest Florida of the persistent bloom, which killed an undetermined amount of marine life, while causing beachgoers to cough, sneeze, and experience other respiratory or eye irritation. In another article entitled "Nature's Balance, How Hurricanes Help to Keep Earth's Global Temperatures in Check," written by Andrew Kurtz, Channel 10 News, St. Petersburg, Florida, he says, tropical cyclones, even those as complex and destructive as Hurricane Michael, are the product of nature's balance at work. No one wants them, but the reality is this. They're completely natural and essential. NOAA says hurricanes, including weaker systems, help to regulate global temperatures and keep Earth at a hospitable as possible. Being directly in line with the sun's rays, Earth's equator is a hot place. It's where average ocean temperatures are the highest. Further north and south, the water's cool. The very basic ingredient of a tropical cyclone is high ocean temperature, typically above 80 degrees, allowing water vapor to rise, condense, and form clouds. The storm develops from there, but it's this rising motion that holds the key to global temperature regulation. Heat is literally lifted from the ocean, transferred to the upper atmosphere, and spread toward the poles. This is the purpose of tropical cyclones, according to NOAA. Without them, the polar regions would become colder and the tropics would overheat. Well, let me grab a nickel. Continuing on from the Duke website at today.duke.edu, hurricanes bring benefits to barrier islands and beaches, even as they devastate communities located there, Duke researchers say. Researchers at Duke University's Nicholas School of the Environment and Earth Science and its Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines, PSDS, say such storms also bring vital benefits to the coastal environment itself. The big changes that occur in Barrier Island often occur during hurricanes, said Oren Pickley, Duke Professor of Geology at the Nicholas School of Environment and Earth Sciences at Duke and Director of PSDS. Barrier Islands need hurricanes for their survival, especially at times of rising sea level such as now. It's during hurricanes that islands get higher and wider, he said. From a purely natural standpoint, hurricanes are a blessing for islands, even though they are a curse for people who live there. More on NOAA temperature buoys. We know from this and the previous TIN programs on hurricanes and cyclonic activity, the deep sea water temperature greatly affects cyclonic storm formation. The indraft at the bottom of the forming hurricane and the updraft to the top of the hurricane, with the fall back to ground causing a cascade of air mass, only happens when the right temperature conditions. Dave's question on any beneficial cleanup of the ecological traceable to cyclonic storm activity also needs to be considered from the deep sea cleanup perspective. We know that medical waste and tsunami waste has washed up onto shores far removed from the place where the waste originated. How did the hurricane affect the water and wave motion to clean up, dispense, and propagate the trash? Also, what is the effect of the cyclonic activity on underwater and deep sea marine life important to the food chain all the way up to the human food chain? Let me reset. Okay, continuing on. Because temperature gradients, vertical and horizontal under the storm, rather than the cyclonic storm, affect hurricane formation, breakup, and therefore ecological cleanup, there is a network of sea buoys, both near shore and deep sea buoys. These buoys are also used for weather forecasting and can help save lives and forecast cyclonic storm activity, speed, and direction of travel. When you go to the NOAA buoy website, each buoy is shown on a map. Some buoys are located close to shore, some are in the deep sea, and some in the formation basins for cyclones, hurricanes, and typhoons, including outside Africa. When you hover over one of the buoys, it will give you the position, wind, barometric pressure, air temperature, and water temperature at the buoy. There will be links for viewing details and viewing history. When you point and click on the details in the hover display, it will show more information including search and rescue data, meteorological observations from nearby stations and ships, and a combined plot. When you point and click on the history link in the hover display, you will have access to search historical meteorological data for observations that meet your threshold conditions. By examining buoy data, we can help understand the formation, threat, wave propagation, potential landfall impact, and possible deep sea ecological impact and naturally occurring storm cleanup from the vortex activity of the cyclone, typhoon, or hurricane. Well, let me reset. How Hurricanes Replenish Plant Life, written by Jonathan Bells of weather.com. What isn't blown around on the ground during a hurricane can sometimes be carried hundreds of miles downstream. As hurricanes make landfall, their wind blows spores and seeds further inland from where they would normally fall. This effect can be seen 1,000 miles inland as storms move away from the shoreline. These seeds can replenish lost growth after fires and urbanization. Tropical storm systems often thin out tree foliage, which can be beneficial to firefighting efforts. The act of pruning trees as to mitigate damage can also help. One study said that the loss of foliage in hurricanes and other natural disasters aids long-distance seed dispersal. Fresh nutrients and sediment brought in by hurricanes can spawn growth spurts in new life, which can later lead to upticks in animal life. Let me reset. Continuing on, we know that temperature affects hurricane formation and collapse of the cyclonic storm. We also know that anything that affects the temperature gradients of a hurricane affects how strong or weak the cyclone will be. Therefore, anything that makes the water molecules more excited and move faster will affect any weather system. Temperature is defined as being higher than water molecules. Temperature is defined as being higher when water molecules move faster. True. As temperature affects the severity of a hurricane, we learn more about the effects of hurricanes of similar strength, including any small beneficial effects. Okay, that's it for me. I'm going to take some check-ins or any comments. Please call now. Okay, nothing heard. I'm going to turn this over to David, KB9EWG. If you're ready, the mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you there, Woody, and fine job, and good evening to everybody here. KB9EWG here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. So I don't have a whole lot of hurricane experience there, but you know, do a lot with the weather here in this area for storm spotting and that. So, but I can certainly read a script here. So, anyways, good evening all. And continuing on, because water temperature is a measure of energy in the molecules of the moisture in a hurricane, anything that excites the water molecules will affect any beneficial effects in the wake of hurricanes. A factor in the formation of the ozone that helps clean the air is electrostatic discharge through the atmosphere, such as in lightning or ionospheric radiation. Ionospheric radiation can occur as a result of solar wind and radiation striking the Earth's seas and land surfaces after it passes through the Earth's ionosphere and atmosphere, instead of it being repelled by the Earth's magnetic field. An interesting question is if the solar radiation that affects a hurricane's profile, including travel speed, wind speed, and direction, may also create a beneficial impact by the cyclone. That's number one. Number two, a second interesting question is if the study of cyclones after they have passed provides some benefit to the human race, such as knowing how to reduce the possibility of a medical stroke. Individuals at risk include the infirm and elderly. This question especially is important during this current period of very low solar activity, when many people did not experience nor remember the significant storms that occurred before they were born. Let me say here. By knowing more about the ecological cleansing effect of the air by solar radiation in the area of the cyclonic activity, we may learn more about how to obtain a benefit from hurricanes passing. According to one source, all biological systems on Earth are exposed to an external and internal environment of fluctuating invisible magnetic fields known as geostorms of a wide range of frequencies. A web article from Scientific America defines geomagnetic storms as caused by major solar events such as flares or coronal mass ejections and sunspots that result in technological impacts on our modern electronic society. Let me set the timers here. Two of these storms are the Carrington effect in September 1859, considered to be the most powerful geomagnetic storm on record, and the other storm and a later storm in May 1921 known as the New York Railroad event, that may have been just as powerful or more so when it caused three major fires in the U.S., Sweden, and Canada. It is considered possible that this storm may have contributed to three major fires worldwide on the same day, one sparked by strong currents in the telegraph wires at a railroad station in Brewster, New York, burned the station to the ground. The second was a fire that destroyed a telephone exchange in Karlstad, Sweden, while the third occurred in Ontario. With all this solar energy hitting a hurricane, which itself is a very energetic storm, dependent for its cyclonic life on the system of highly energetic temperatures and air molecular movement. Excuse me. Can we recognize that any advantage of a hurricane to the Earth? A hurricane benefit may result from a study of the effects of this solar activity in a cyclonic weather area. And reset. Okay, for our second question about the prevention of health risks as a benefit of hurricanes and how our knowledge of hurricanes and effects of the solar storms on cyclones, let's consider the following research opportunities that would be a benefit of hurricanes. Already being performed in Tomsk, Russia. Research by Siberian scientists in Russia asked if the Earth's magnetic field can influence a person's physical health and such psychological welfare. We already know that a cyclonic storm event causes an increased dangers of stroke, physical health, and psychological welfare because of the stress of the storm and its cleanup on the individuals. Can a positive effect of a cyclone be the new research on how to minimize these effects? Let me say here. Scientists at the Tomsk State University, TSU, studied 60 people of various ages and confirmed with more than 350 observations that magnetic storms impact hearing and vision, slowing reaction time. If we study the effects of solar activity on cyclonic activity, we may have a benefit resulting from cyclonic activity. Environmental magnetic fields help birds to navigate. Human brain changes are considerably affected when in an area with a disturbed magnetic field. However, people do not experience any unusual sensations and generally do not notice anything. Let me see here. The impact of geomagnetic anomalies varies for people of different ages. The electric activity of the brain changes after 4 or 5 minutes among young people, while the elderly, it's about 1 minute. In this case, the reactions are similar to those during a magnetic storm. A link seems to exist between geothermal storms and stroke risk among people in New Zealand, Australia, and the United Kingdom, France, and Sweden. The study compared 11,453 hospital reports with daily geomagnetic activity over a 23-year period and found geomagnetic storms were associated with 19% increased risk of stroke overall and a 27% increased risk among adults under 65. Hurricanes also present an increased risk of stroke and adverse physical mental health problems in people. Can we help prevent the illness by researching a combination of cyclonic activity, solar storm events, and a physical mental health on illness there? The author suggests geomagnetic storm warnings be announced along with weather reports, and doctors and patients should pay closer attention to the controlling conventional risk factors for stroke during the days leading to these types of solar events. These actions, they say, may reduce stroke incidents on a global level. If we understand more about the interaction between cyclonic storms and solar activity, we may have another beneficial effect of a cyclonic storm. Only the future will tell if we can apply a synthesis of apparently unrelated natural phenomena to learn about helping people and our ecology. Many discoveries have been made because of such creative thinking, such as electricity shocks to the heart of a living human, being now known in the millions as a pacemaker. Can a hurricane somehow, after it does damage, be a friend to our medical and scientific research? Let me say here. The truth on magnetic storms, Russia and beyond. That is a website of https://www.romeobravotangohotel.com / 2016. Now, anyways, it's a fairly long, I believe that he's got the URLs on the website there. There's also www.health.com/solar for health effects. A couple different websites being mentioned here. Okay, at this point, I'm going to look for any final comments or check-ins or anybody wishing to just make a presence known there. Looking for check-ins at this time. KB9EWG. Okay, hearing nothing else, I guess it's time to wrap up the TIN here for this evening. So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming by. We hope you enjoyed the program and also learned some things along the way. This program is now officially closed, and the server is being returned to normal amateur use. This is David, KB9EWG, saying 7-3, wishing all a good evening, and 7-3 all. KB9EWG is cleared, and the server is now returned to normal amateur use.
Thank you, David, and all the rest that participated this evening. Gordon here, KY6V. We'll have this podcast of tonight's program published on our website sometime tomorrow, hopefully before noon. So for those who missed parts of it or all of it, there's a place that they can refer to. Thanks, everybody. KY6V, Quinn.